Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
All right, it's time for Stage Direction, your number one segment on 95BFM for all things theatre and thespian. And we are joined by Alice Canton and Cassandra, who are going to be talking to us about a production that will be happening at Pump House Theatre over the course of next week. So,
yes.
Alice, what's happening?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, great that I'm the number one show for all things live theatre at the moment, because maybe I might be the only one, but I will say being number one, it means a lot. Especially, we've got to protect this part of the media landscape, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yes, we did have this is also monumental. It's our first drive show, because we were in Various Artists on Friday, and now we have found a home at 4:20 on a Monday.
Nice.
To talk all things theatre. We're joined by Cassandra Woodhouse. We're here to talk about Prima Facie, the show which, well, for all those that were fortunate enough to catch it last year, has come back. The one-woman show, which is on everyone's lips because it's a Tony award-winning play. I think it got an Olivier as well. It is a solo show. You're performing it opening next week at the Pump House Theatre. It's got some deep content. We're talking some deep and scary content. We're talking about a woman navigating the justice system, the legal system, from the inside and also from the outside. So it's a huge show, and as I said before, it's a solo show. So can you talk to me about like the first time, because this is a very special moment in any performer's sort of, is when you first encounter the text, when you first get to read it cover to cover, or how, whatever your process for it is. Can you talk to me about like what was that impression that this text had on you the first time you were able to get your hands on it?
I love that question so much. Because it was actually a very special journey for me with this. I had done a solo show called Hannah before this, and I was a bit exhausted and burnt out because I'd taken it on tour, and I swore I wouldn't do another one-person show.
Oh, they're like, never again!
Never again! And then I had a look on and just was like, what's on at the Rialto? I just needed to see some art, see someone else do something. And they were showing some National Theatre Live screenings, and I knew nothing about Prima Facie, and I saw they were doing a screening of a one-woman show. I was like, oh, yay, I get to go and watch someone else do something, and just like, yeah. So that was my mental space when I went into it going, I don't want to do another one. And then I sat and watched this and was so moved. And all I can say, and I've said this the whole journey, is that something bigger than me came through. Like, I was like, from the moment I saw that performance, and then I came home that night and applied for the rights. It was always bigger than me. It was like something bigger than me wanting to come through. The story needed to be told. I needed to get it to New Zealand. And then I had to wait for it. Some other people in New Zealand had the rights first, and I didn't care. I said, I'll wait. I'll do it next year. And then I just was so passionate to get it around the country as well. Hence why I took it on tour last year. And again this year. So that would be the main thing. It was just and as I've continued to perform it, that whatever that whisper was has only gotten louder, because I've met the most incredible people who share their stories with me, women who the story just gives them the space to be able to share their story, and it's given me massive respect for this art form. It's made me really see that when we share people's stories and when we see our stories told, it makes us feel less alone, and it gives us the courage to share our stories. And sometimes that's enough for so many people, to just share their stories with one other person. And particularly with this show and theatre, you know, typical theatre audiences tend to be a bit older, so having them share their stories with us is really special. But then you've got the younger generation who are just hungry to continue the conversation with all the themes that come up in the show. So it just continues to take on a life of its own, and I just feel like the conduit for for the Ooh. Play itself.
Conduit. That's kind of a nice kind of image there. Mm. I have of you sort of straddling. I mean, as a solo performer, you're sort of straddling the sort of synergy of what an audience brings you every night, and then you've got the wishes of the playwright and what you're performing, and then you've got like your director Michael Hurst, who and the way that that's facilitated a process. I like that term, conduit. Oh. Although it sounds kind of like we're talking in kind of not necessarily tangible sort of things here, but it is obviously tangibly a show which deals with the like sexual I was going to say sexual abuse, but actually of an encounter from a defence lawyer. I don't want to give away too much, right? You got to go and watch and listen to the show. But I imagine with that really heavy content, it must. I mean, does it weigh?
Oh, it totally does. And you just spoke so beautifully about all the elements that come together, and yeah, it can feel a bit sort of, I don't know, eerie, fairy to talk about it like that. But I actually, that's actually become a really big process for me, and a really big element. Actually, Nicole Scherzinger has just won the Tony Award this afternoon for Sunset Boulevard, which I saw in New York earlier in the year, and I love that she speaks about the same thing. Because she speaks that she's doing it. She's got the energy of her ancestors coming through her. And I really feel with this play, I've just got all the women who have come before me, the women who will come after me, that they are speaking through me. So, it's a hugely demanding show, both physically and emotionally. Mm. But what gets me through is knowing that I'm just the voice of, sadly, too many women, you know, but that gives me the courage to keep going, the courage to kind of show up every night and get through the nerves and get through all those things. Because like I said, it's just always been bigger than me. And if I can just get out of my own way, there's something really beautiful happens.
Totally. I mean, what's the role here of theatre, of art, where, you know, you're essentially opening up a conversation in a space, a storytelling space, but it is in the context of a country in which we have our own shames and I was going to say not insecurities, but I'm looking for like vulnerabilities in our justice system when it comes to supporting survivors or even listening or hearing those stories, believing her, you know. What is the role that theatre or art plays here?
Well, if I just speak into this play itself, it has become a massive form of advocacy, and hence why we brought it back this year, because we wanted to get it to as many high school and university students as possible, because sadly now these conversations aren't being had in high schools, and they need to be, and you know, younger people are hungry to know their rights and know what they can do to, you know, prevent this. We get so many kids saying, my friend got raped, what do I do? Like, you know, after the show we do Q&As for them, and so, you know, really seeing the need to continue the conversation. But also it's just given me a massive new respect for this art form, because when we tell stories like this that hold up a mirror to so many people, it allows people to feel seen and heard, it's just given me, that's the whole function of art, and that's why we need it, and that's why, you know, in COVID we all turned to art, like, you know, it's sadly the thing that, you know, it's the first to get, you know,
the shop, so to speak.
Yeah, but it is, and it's like, but when you experience what, even I've self-funded this whole project, I didn't get any funding from, you know, our funding bodies, because for whatever reason, but when you see the impact it's having and then the continued advocacy we get to do around it, it feels criminal that that's not supported in any way, and that it seems, you know, it is on my shoulders, but I'm happy to do it. But stories like this just are vital, and it's another way. It's another in to have these conversations with not just young people. You know, like all generations are. Mm. They all bring their own stories, their own traumas to the theatre, and they come in, and all I can say is the healing I have seen from people seeing their stories being shared is just something I will never forget.
Oh, so it's on at the Pump House Theatre out there. The way out over the bridge. you've already, how many performances are you doing of this show?
At the Pump House?
Yeah.
I think I'm there a week. I'm actually doing a double header some nights with Michael Hurst's one-man show.
So Michael's got his show on as well. So can you arguably go to both shows?
You can, which we thought was a really interesting dynamic because his being a comedy, mine being a drama, but, you know, he beautifully wrote something for it, you know, that he said that both hold up both sides of the face of the theatre mask, you know.
Yes.
And even though these plays are 2,000 years apart, they actually explore sexual politics in a really interesting way. So it's a great conversation. You can come to both, you can come to one or the other, but yeah, we've timed them so that you can come to one, go and have dinner, come back and see another one and
Make a night of it.
And make a go night on. Of it, and you know, to see Michael, like, he's just a genius at what he does. So to see his show is great.
It's actually lovely, people like folks like Michael returning to the theatre.
Oh.
I mean, he's always in the theatre, really. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most people probably might recognise him from television, etc. But to see him back traipsing the boards. So the show is called, am I saying Prima Facie? Is that correct?
I say Prima Facie.
Prima Facie.
Yeah, look, up to you.
Prima Facie on the Pump House. We've been talking to Cassandra Woodhouse. All the best for your second run of the show. And then, of course, you're taking the work on the road. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's been on the road all this year. But, yeah, it continues. I go to New Plymouth in July. It's been picked up by Arts on Tour for next March,
yay,
which will probably be quite South Island heavy, I imagine.
Gorgeous.
To really get it hit in the little towns down there.
We love that.
Which I'm so excited for.
Great.
Because everyone deserves to see it. And the fact that we've made it like this tourable version of a show that can literally be done in an art gallery or a...
Oh, which is probably a good shout out if you've got a space that
you've
might
space.
Want to have the show.
Yeah, universities and high schools particularly, please reach out.
Look, I've got a lot of places that I would love for this show to go to. So perhaps all these people could all pool their resources together and get the work touring forever and ever and ever. Break a leg for opening night.
Thank you.
Said.
We do have a code which we all share, what we can share with on the notes for high school students. If you do want to come along, it'll be like $5. So please come along. We've got Q&As afterwards with Ali Moore. She'll be chatting about her new charity, Tika. And some, Darium and Help Auckland. So, yeah, great support. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Alice, and thank you, Cassandra, for telling us about that.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.